Something else that made it back into the news this week because of that attack in New York on Tuesday when that man drove a truck down a bike path killing 8 people. The Arabic phrase Allahu Akbar, or God is greatest. The phrase was quickly cited as evidence of the attacker's motivations before investigators could confirm anything. But Allahu Akbar is a pretty innocuous and common expression among Muslims. In the New York Times, writer Wajahat Ali recently wrote about reclaiming the phrase.
I say it like 100 times a day, not to freak out your listeners, because it's said in prayer. So when Muslims who are supposed to pray 5 times a day, most of us don't, the first thing they do in prayer is say Allahu Akbar. And within each cycle of prayer, you say it like 5 or 6 times. So if you add it up and you're praying 5 times a day, and also you're using it as a lexical Swiss Army knife, which most of us do, as an expression of gratitude. You know, I said Allahu Akbar while watching, literally last night, the Golden State Warriors come back and beat the Spurs. I'm like, Allahu Akbar. Thank you, Steph Curry. And 2 nights ago on my birthday, I said Allahu Akbar right when I bit into a succulent, tasty halal chicken kebab. Unfortunately, language oftentimes is hijacked by violent extremists. I have lived 37 years. I and the overwhelming majority of Muslims have never used it before or after a violent act. It's said during prayer and after something as innocuous. And I said this in the piece. I have no problem saying it on air. A couple of days ago, I had a stomach virus. Sometimes you lose the battle, but you win the war against the stomach virus. And when you do, you say, Allahu Akbar.
So when you heard reports that the attacker in New York on Tuesday had said Allahu Akbar, what was your reaction?
I mean, I was watching the rolling coverage, right? And they said, oh, incident happened. And then they said, suspect said Allahu Akbar. Now FBI is investigating as an incident of terrorism. I'm like, really? That's the marker of terrorism? And what we've seen since 9/11 is the label of terrorism is not applied based on the act and the intent. It's oftentimes applied only based on ethnicity and religion. And so I sat there and said, Groundhog Day all over again. I know exactly what's going to happen. Allahu Akbar is going to trend. Extremists on both sides are going to use it for their ideological agenda. And maybe it's time for me to be a Muslim Wikipedia entry and inform people what Allahu Akbar really means. And I said, wait for it. Donald Trump, who was unable to properly criticize white supremacists who use the same exact method of terror in Charlottesville. Both sides are to blame. There's some very fine people. And I think it's been 2 months, Marco, and he did not call it yet an act of domestic terrorism. I said, wait for it. He's going to exploit it. And lo and behold, within a day, he did.
There's also with these attacks now, this moment between kind of lightning and thunder when the attack happens, and then we all wait to see the kind of person who did it. And now it feels like we're also asking, did they say Allahu Akbar or not? It's become like this tainted shorthand. What does that moment of waiting become for you? What goes through your mind?
It's called the Muslim drill, and I've talked about it before. And it's not just Muslims, but most people of color in this country pray to God that it's just like an average white dude who did it. Not because we have anything against white dudes, but if it's a white dude, we know that all of our white brethren will not be indicted, convicted, or sentenced based on the criminal actions of one person. When it's a Muslim, your entire species is on trial. 1.7 billion people in 1,400 years of Islamic civilization. And then you have to engage in the endless condemnathons and condemn violent acts done by people you've never met. It's like Die Hard 2, condemn 2, condemn harder. If you don't condemn enough, people always, you know, they always use it to question your loyalty and patriotism. But this time, it was a bit different, Marco, because overwhelmingly, the people who responded to me, fellow Americans, non-Muslims, were appreciative. They said, listen, man, when I heard Allahu Akbar all these years, literally, I don't want to be like a jerk, but I was scared because all I saw in the news was terrorism. But what you said makes a lot of sense. Thanks for informing me.
Yeah, so that indicates a little progress. But still, do you ever find yourself policing what you say? Because you know the story last year, an Iraqi refugee, a student at Berkeley, was kicked off a plane after ending a cell phone call with the phrase, inshallah, or God willing.
Unconsciously, yes, it has changed somehow the way we behave because you realize that your multisyllable name, your religious identity, and even saying something as innocuous as Allahu Akbar in an age of ignorance and fear can be used against you. At the end of the day, you're like, do I really want to go through this crap of like getting kicked off a plane or getting TSA bothering me just because, you know, I said Allahu Akbar? And most people say no. But at the same time, you know, life is short, man, and I'm not doing anything wrong. And I refuse to let haters and extremists hijack the normalcy of our daily lives. And so if that means I have to work a little bit harder just to explain it to people, so be it.
It's not a funny topic, but at least you bring some humor to the table. And I had to laugh again yesterday when the internet spotted several TV newscasters reporting on the New York attack, mispronouncing Allahu Akbar as Alu Akbar, which translates to what?
Potatoes are great.
Yeah.
I love potatoes. Some of my best meals have potatoes in them. Who doesn't like potatoes? If you don't like potatoes, something is wrong with you. So if we can't agree on Allahu Akbar, I think most Americans can agree. Alu Akbar. Yeah. Potatoes are great.
Writer Wajahat Ali. His essay in the New York Times is titled, I Want Allahu Akbar Back.